Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Carolus, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you doing, my brother?
Very well, thank you. I hope you're doing well.
So we are, thank you so much. And for those wondering, we are safe here in the Cape.
Are you now safe? Oh, lovely, lovely. Is it still raining, though?
Oh, just as we speak, I'm watching torrents of rain falling down.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. That's interesting. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Now, Pastor, we're continuing to talk about love, the topic that we've been talking about this week. And one of the ways that love is tested is when it must be offered to unlovable people in unlovable circumstances. And today's conversation will be about how loving oneself influences us in those situations. I know that you made a point about self-love and the love of self yesterday. Now, how does... Yes, go ahead.
I actually wanted to just recap on...
Yes, please do. Please do that. Yeah.
Just to put into perspective what the life of a Christian is, when you think of self-hatred, remember we spoke about hating self.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking as if it's a good thing,
and then
loving self, looking as if it's a bad thing.
Mm.
Now, I did say that it depends what self we are talking about. Now, I do find someone in the Bible was not happy with himself, with the self that was living at the time. And we find that person in Romans chapter 7, Paul speaks about a person. And the problem we have is that the old self loves itself. And when we have a problem, we need a solution. Now, once we know what is right, when we come to know God's law, Paul says that he finds that the law is good and that going against the law is bad. But then he says, now that I know what's good, I want to do good. But I find myself not doing it. Then he says, I know what's wrong and I don't want to do it. But I find myself doing it.
Mm.
And Paul, when you read how he feels about this, it is a despair. Paul is not happy with this kind of life where he's doing what he knows he shouldn't be doing and where he's not doing what he knows he should be doing. And at the end of that discourse, at the end of that part of the letter to the Romans, is something like this. He cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" In other words, I don't want this self. I don't want this life that does what I don't want it to do and doesn't do what I want it to do. And what he wants to do is good. What he doesn't want to do is wrong. And he cries out in despair because he realizes, I have a problem. I know the law. I know what's good, but I'm not doing it. Why not?
Mm.
And this leaves him in a conundrum. And he hates it so much that he wants to be delivered from that life. Now, he then gives us the solution in the same chapter. After crying out, regarding his wretchedness and the wretchedness of that life, Paul then says what the solution is. He says, I thank God. So God has a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the solution that God gives? I thank God through Jesus Christ. I thank God. The point where he's unhappy of the old life, with the old life, brings him to a gratitude for what Jesus has done in order for us to put off that old self, which we have now come to hate. And the solution is Jesus dying on the cross. And then Paul says in Galatians 2, he says that the life he's now living He first says that he has crucified the old self, that self that was doing what he didn't want it to do and not doing what he wanted it to do according to the law, according to what he had come to know about Christ. He says he has put off that old self, crucified that self, and the new self, the new life now, he says, is really now the life of Christ.
Mm.
Because he says, yeah, I live, but not I live, but Christ lives. So the new self, the new life, is in actual fact Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So when we love the new self, even then we are not loving ourselves, but we are loving the life of Christ. We are loving, Paul says, you know, and we're talking about our relation to each other as well. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, as Paul comes to the close of is the letter to the Romans, he says the following: let us walk honestly, Romans 13, verse 13, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. In other words, the relationships that is filled with strife and envy is what Paul is saying we shouldn't do. And then he gives the very same solution on how not to do it, how to live right with your brother, how to love your brother. He says, put ye on, in verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So the putting on of self is the putting on of Jesus. Now, how does this relate to others? Well, when we put on Christ, his mind becomes ours. And Paul says we should have the mind of Jesus, right? When we put on Christ, the new self, the life that we are to love, this life which is the life of Christ living in and through us, he says that not only does the mind, but the heart becomes, the heart of Christ becomes our heart. His eyes become our eyes. In other words, we now no longer seeing through the eyes of humanity, but we are sinful humanity, that is, but we are looking through the eyes of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And you have to ask, how did Jesus look at his neighbor? How did he look at us? How does he look at us? He looks at us as having a problem, yes, but he also looks at us and what we can become when we accept the solution to the problem of the old self. And so when we start looking at Jesus through the eyes of Jesus, we see our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, even our enemies, we see them in a new light. We do not see them as doing anything bad to us. We see them as being in contradiction and at enmity with God. And the number one priority of Jesus is the salvation of souls. So when we look at people now, our number one priority, because the life we now live is not ours but Christ's, our number one priority also becomes the salvation of souls.
Mm.
So, and that impacts the way we look at people. You remember the servant that was forgiven by the king of 10,000 talents?
Yeah.
The problem for that man is, after he has been forgiven so much, the expectation was that now it would be easy, and it is like that, it's easy then to forgive others. See, that's why we said, the world says you must forgive yourself before you can forgive others. No, we can only truly forgive others once we have experienced God's forgiveness for us. That makes God the center of the gospel and not me, myself, and I. Because if I first have to learn to love myself, if I first have to learn to forgive myself, I'm going to take forever. And I think that that kind of self-love, that kind of self-forgiveness is what the Bible cautions against, because we are taking Christ away as the center of the gospel, and we are putting man, ourselves, there, because we first need to do something before we can do good. No, all we need to do is surrender to Christ. We must crucify the old self, not so much love the old self, but crucify. Because remember that verse in John, chapter, where Jesus says in John chapter 12, where he says we should hate ourselves, and if we hate ourselves, we keep ourselves for eternity. But if we love ourselves, we lose out on eternity. So when Christ is in me, the same compassion that Christ has given me, when I continue to surrender to him, he now gives that compassion through me to others. The problem with that man, that servant who was forgiven so much, was that all he wanted from Christ was forgiveness, but he did not want to live from that point on the life of Christ. He wanted the penalty gone, but he did not want to live the life. And so he goes, and the king is angry with him because he did not allow the self-sacrificial love of his master to filter through to others. And that is what it should be if we continue to live by faith. We live by faith, by receiving forgiveness of God, and to continue living that faithful life means to now allow God also to work through us. It's a mouthful, but I felt that after yesterday, I should just put this into context.
Beautiful, beautiful, actually, context there, my pastor. Now, you know, this new self, because you talked about the new self, how does this new self, affect the way we approach our mistakes and shortcomings then?
So we said in the beginning that God is love. John says that Jesus, who became flesh, was God, or is God. That's John chapter 1, 1 verse 1 and also 1 verse 14. So if God is love, and the picture we have of love, of God's love, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That is what love is like. So if I have Christ in me, if I live by faith, if I no longer live according to the flesh, but now according to the Spirit. And remember that verse, Romans 8 verse 1? It's a continuation of Romans 7. Paul actually says that there's now no more condemnation, no more hatred or enmity when we walk according to the Spirit. But when we walk according to the flesh, there is still that hatred and should be that enmity. However, when it comes to the God that we have put on, Jesus Christ, when we put on Christ, we put on a new self, but we also put on love. And what does that love look like? Well, the Bible gives us. It says that love is patient. So in relation to others, when others do us wrong, the love that now lives in me is long-suffering toward that person. The same way that Christ us, we now love each other. Only once, and we can only do this when we recognize and realize the love of God toward us, according to 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. When we go to Calvary, when we visit the life of Christ for at least an hour each day, thinking about it, meditating upon it, we realize how Jesus lived, and we accept that life for us. So when Jesus looked at sinners and those against him, he looked at them with compassion. And that's the kind of eyes we get when we have put on this new self. Jesus looks at them as love is kind, the Bible says. So we are now kind toward each other, long-suffering. We don't envy each other.
Yeah.
There's no strife from our side. We don't envy. There's no pride anymore. In other words, we have humility. It is not puffed up. There's no status when it comes to this, you know, because I don't think I'm better than someone else. No, it does not behave unseemly. It does not seek its own interest. The salvation of others now become very important.
Yeah.
Because my salvation was important to Christ, my neighbor's salvation is now important to me because it's the same life that Christ lived that now lives in me. It is not easily provoked. It does not think to do wrong. You see, where the old self was desperately wicked, desperate to do wicked, the new self, the new love that we put on, the Christ we put on, does not think to do evil. It does not rejoice in the bad or in the wrong or in the iniquity, but rejoices in truth. If this kind of love continues to exist in marriages, we'll have no divorces, Zama.
Yeah, true.
If this kind of love exists in churches, there'll be no infighting. If this kind of love exists within families, there'll be no rejecting one another. No. Because this love never fails. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. You know, I was speaking to a young, I don't know if I have the time to even give this experience, but very quickly, I was speaking to a young man who was accusing another brother in church. And, we followed the Matthew 18 principle, and I landed up in this meeting as well. And the question was, do you have evidence for what you are saying this brother did to you? He says, no, but I just know he did it, or he's doing it. He's bad-mouthing me. So I said, look, if you don't have evidence, you can actually ask him if he is. And he says, my brother, are you bad-mouthing me? And the brother says, no, I'm not. And that was a learning experience because I could tell him, we have to believe what he says because we don't have the powers to read minds and intentions and motives. So what if he says this, then believe it because love believes all things. And you also hope that he's telling the truth. You hope all things. You don't sit with the idea that, yeah, the truth is going to come out. Let's just wait and see. And now you're waiting for that to become a reality. No, you hope all things. You endure all things because love does not fail. And this kind of love is the love that Paul emphasizes, the love that John, in his letters to the church, emphasizes. It's what Christ emphasizes, not the love of self, but the love toward our neighbors and even our enemies.
Yeah, beautiful stuff. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for this afternoon. Absolutely important conversation. And of course, very well articulated positions there on love. Thank you so much. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Amen. May God bless you and the listeners. And it's always a pleasure sharing from God's word. Thank you, Zama, for the platform and experience.
Beautiful, Pastor. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.